Christ is in our midst. So I'll tell you something very serious, because I don't know any other way to preach this particular gospel. Demon possession. There's a million definitions for it, or let's say shades of meaning. Because there's a lot of possibilities when we talk about demons. And, you know, the cosmic battle that we're fighting, all of us, every day, in our own hearts. That's enough right there, just in our own hearts. Much less everything that's going on in the universe, you know. Big warfare all the time. Thank God we have Christ. But here's the serious part. Here's a little bit of scary part, too. I don't want to scare everyone. I must. Do you know, possession, if we take the word possession doesn't necessarily have to mean total, complete possession, which means like, this guy had how many legion, multitude of demons, you know? So he was completely like covered in pestilence, spiritually. But I'll tell you this, and this is what our church teaches. You are pure. You are holy. You are created in the image of God. If you succumb, if you give in to a temptation, if you listen to a demon, we'll put it like that, since we're being very vivid from this gospel. If you are influenced, there's a shade of meaning, influenced. If you are tempted and then influenced and then enticed and then, you know, more and more. To the degree that you participate in that thought or in that word or in that action or in that way of life, whatever it is, guess what, my dears? We are possessed. We are possessed. And you see, there's only one way to get rid of possession of any kind. That's for me to recognize it and to repent of it. That's why we have confession. That's why we have the mysteries. Because the only thing that can destroy like these constant like influences and attractions and the things we embrace, Christ. And it's Christ in the form of experience. Like, if we don't have Christ in us through confession and through the Holy Mysteries, through Holy Communion and all the rest, what do we have? Because you, let me say it again, you are holy. You are made, you are created holy. But the minute you accept this other spirit, if you will, or many spirits, you become that much less holy. You become that much less like innocent anymore. And it can accumulate over the seasons and over the years. And you can become like this person in the gospel. I can be that person if I'm not somehow diligently trying to not be possessed. Now, possession. Many people are possessed of many things, right? I am possessed of like my love for, you name it, my house. Love my house, right? To the degree that you love your house, you're possessed of it. And there's sort of a negative kind of taking you away from Christ, from the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean you have to hate your house. But it does mean that we must like somehow just incorporate that into this pilgrimage, this life, and say, it's not my real house. It's not my real home. I don't need to be like so in love with this thing that when it finally does get taken away from me, one way or the other, that I'll be lost, that I'll be completely possessed. You name it. Have you ever been angry? Have you ever been angry? You want to see the quickest way to get possessed by a demon is to get angry. The quickest way that you are no longer in control, that you are no longer in charge, but but some foreign, alien, viral spirit, some pestilence has taken over you. And look, look around you. People get angry all the time. Look at them. Look at them. In a second, I don't recognize them. And that's when, like, we should be, like, weeping tears. That's when we should put our eyes down and say, my goodness, this is a serious and this is a scary warfare. Look at this person. Maybe, like, look at this person who I love, even from my own house. And look at what they've become before my very eyes. I don't even know them. And then they come back to the color comes back into their face or whatever, you know. And their eyes go back into their spot, and you say, wow, where did you go? Where did you go? Well, I was with a demon for a moment. Literally. I shook the demon's hand. I embraced the demon. And depending on how deep you go, I mean, what do you think makes people capable of doing violence to others and killing them and harming them? You think it's them that want to do that? We were created to kill each other? It's impossible. We were created for the opposite, to do nothing but love each other. And yet, my influence, the way I'm influenced, the way I'm tempted, what I participate in becomes who I really then become, like a new person, like a monstrous person, like a subhuman somehow. You get the idea of what possession is? I mean, I could go passion by passion by passion. We had a beautiful retreat. I'm sorry everybody missed it, or many missed it. Some missed it. And yesterday's session in the afternoon was like the best. Father Karanit was talking about Psalm 50 and all of the ramifications of all the sins that David committed. Now look at David. This is my point here. And he expressed a description of David, which is incredible. A fiery, red-headed lover of God. The young lad who was totally in love with God. The most in love with God of any person that ever lived. Like, he loved God. So that when he committed that big sin, and we'll talk about this sin comes from being tempted, from forgetting who I am, because he was the one who killed Goliath. He was the one who sat on the throne and loved God. But instead of doing his job, instead of doing his duty, like loving the people, being with his soldiers, and praying, he was up on the roof looking at women. That image struck me when he said that. He was up on the roof looking at women. Is he possessed? Yes. But it was at some degree, he was influenced. He didn't even want to go up there and look at her. And then he sees a woman and he says, bring her to me. And then you know the rest. Nathan, the prophet, comes before him when he's judging, sitting on the throne, judging all the cases as the king. And then Nathan presents that beautiful picture of there's a man who has one sheep and there's a man who has a million sheep and all the rest. And David gets fiery and says, what is that? I'm going to do justice. And then Nathan points at him and says, you are the man. You are the man. He indicts him right there and says, you're the guilty one. And at that point, Nathan is other things he says. But right there, the way Father Kalanick expressed it is the point where David realized, I'll put it this way, that he was possessed by some other force besides the love of God. Does that make sense? Like, he was possessed of this thing that he had done. He had been with a man's wife. Then he had killed him. He had the man murdered. Big, double, incredible sin. How can you live and think about anything else when you have all of that, like, deep in your soul? You have that, and what else is there? You'll be going day by day with a big load around your neck, thinking about, this is who I've become. This is, I'm an adulterer, I'm a murderer. Every day. But you see, you know what possession means? It means you pushed it way down. Pushed it deep into the recesses of his heart. And ignored it, and denied it. just didn't want to deal with it. We do it all the time on some level. Like, oh, I open up, I look in there, I say, what a mess, and I close it up. And I leave it go for 6 months. And I look again, I say, oh, you see, if we don't confess that, if we don't continue to clean that out, that's what possesses our heart. That, the stuff we've done, the stuff that we're focused on, the demons that are completely, like, you know, surrounding us and keep influencing us, that's what's in our heart. That's possession. So don't think that possession is some biblical or far exotic, you know, sort of a foreign idea that can never happen to me. It happens to me all the time. On some level, maybe only this much, but maybe this much, you know? But whatever much it is, it's happening. The minute I stop being the image of God, the minute I stop doing the life that Christ gave me to do, right? To live that kind of life. So David, to finish the analogy or the explanation. So David then, it's very vivid, gets off the throne and he says, I'm not worthy to be the king of Israel. When we repent, when we look at who we really have become in sin or in possession, I want to put those two together strongly to the point. If I, you know, when I realize that I am possessed of something other than the love of God, how can we do anything else except forgive me, Lord, and realize that I have offended my first love. I have harmed the relationship that I have with God. And my gosh, there's nothing but to cry. There's nothing but to weep bitter tears over that. And that's the Christian life of repentance, right there. That's the mourning that's talked about in the scripture and it's talked about in our tradition. The mourning over that loss of my real love. I can get it back. And David gets it back, you know. But he never forgets the scar of that fall. And he never stops repenting for the rest of his life. Yeah, but isn't he forgiven? Doesn't that sin eventually go away? And, you know, like, does he stop being possessed of it? Absolutely. I mean, he is Saint King David of the Orthodox Church. But he himself never allowed himself to stop repenting. And thank God, all the Psalms that he wrote, and Psalm 50 especially, and all the rest, thank God. Because then he gives us a way. He teaches us to repent. So, the side discussion is, as you are living this life, and all the troubles therein, inside and outside, pray the Psalms. In fact, I'll say what he said yesterday. Memorize the 50th Psalm. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy steadfast love, and according to thy divine mercy, blot out my transgressions. You know that one? Wash me thoroughly. And when we meditate on the words, maybe we'll try to do like the study at some point that he did all through the Psalm, because it's amazing. But when you memorize the Psalms and when you say them out loud, it affects you. You become possessed of a different spirit than the spirit of the devil and the spirit of Antichrist. You become possessed of like a sweetness and a lightness and a deep repentance. You can say that prayer, have mercy on me, O God, according to time after time after time. In fact, we're supposed to say it many times during the day. We do even morning and evening prayer. There's twice right there. You know, have mercy on me, O God. Mercy. You can't say it enough in all the different ways to wash me thoroughly from my sin. You know, to blot out my transgression. Every time we say that, we come a little bit closer to God and a little bit less possessed, literally, of these other things, of these other attractions, if you will. So that's a good practice. Yes, but I'm feeling this way. And, you know, there are even saints who have written out. I asked the Father yesterday, I said, what about the use of the Psalter, you know, the use of the Book of Psalms as a book of needs? You know what the Book of Needs is? The priest has this little book and, like, I have to bless cows now, and you find, or I have to bless a bridge, and you find, you know, or I have to bless, you know. And everything is there. Now they've updated it. Now there's ambulances, and there's all modern stuff in there. So, the Book of Needs, but several of the saints have which psalm to turn to in time of need for this, or in time of trouble for this, or in time of this, or whatever. I'll dig it up, I'll send it out. But, gosh, this is the prayer book, literally, of the church. It was the prayer book of Israel, and it becomes the prayer book of the church. And isn't it interesting, the church actually calls it that, and it's deeply based on repentance, and then you can go psalm by psalm, and find in the middle of the psalm some light that comes, some hope, some new, like, change, like a turning point. You know, even the psalm that Christ quotes from the cross. Remember that one? Psalm 22, he says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me? Christ is quoting Psalm 22 from the cross. And if you read through that, you see all the prophecies at Pascha, at the Holy Week. You see all the prophecies that are being fulfilled right there on the cross. But then there comes a certain point where you have a turning point. You know, but you, O Lord, have saved me. And that begins the turning point. So, that's our hope. There's a lot of stuff that's going to happen to me. I'm going to be put up on my own cross many times. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be in suffering, etc. But I can't stay there. I can't stay in the meditation on that. I have to stay in the meditation on my repentance. Through the thick of this mess, I can't be possessed of anyone else or anything else except you, Christ. Except you, my Lord, Jesus Christ. Otherwise, I will die. I will die. I feel for you. You know, many of you, believe me, it's no picnic to hear confessions. I'll let you in on a little something. That when you confess your sins, you know, thank God Christ is hearing the confession. Because many times it just breaks my heart to hear, like, all the turmoil, all the anguish, the human, like, if we had a parish of 5 people, that'd be enough. It'd be enough in terms of getting a representation of what's going on in the world. It's enough. Even one person, even my own. Because you see all the living human possession in one confession, a few confessions. And if, you know, without the grace of the priesthood, this is why we have priests hearing confession. People say, well, why do you need a priest? You know why? To absorb that. The grace of the priesthood absorbs all of that filth, all of that power. The power of the evil who comes into us. And who we are, we open the door, we set the table, we say, come and be with me and eat with me. It takes a lot to drive that out. It takes your will, first of all, to drive that out. And then literally it takes the grace of God. We've said many times, look, if you get in a fight, if you get that anger, you know, like we talked about, you become possessed of angry at something or whatever. Yes, you can forgive each other, and you must. Say, forgive me, but you can't take away that power that you've allowed to infiltrate the inner recesses of your own soul. Only Christ can do that. And that's when the priest puts the stole over the heads of the people, and the laying on of hands that was given to the apostles after the resurrection. Christ said, whoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. And whoever sins you don't, they're not. That's the only power in the universe that can forgive sins. That we have in the Orthodox Church. Do you want to be not possessed anymore of anything or everything? Come to confession. You want to be not possessed? Pray the Psalms of repentance. Just memorize one of them. Memorize Psalm 50. You know, I heard years ago that some traditions, like in the Romanian tradition, they won't ordain a priest unless he has the whole 150 memorized. I don't know if they still do that, maybe. But 150, to have every one of them accessible. I thought I was doing something when I memorized Psalm 50, because you're supposed to do that when you sense the church, you're supposed to be saying Psalm 50. I thought it was like, you know, big shot. No, you're supposed to, that's one. How about 149 more? See, my dears, there's more and more absorption of holiness that we can, you know, attract so that we can push away the other. We can be literally possessed of God. That's the bottom line. Don't you want to be possessed of Jesus Christ? Yes, I am captive. I am the slave of Christ. St. Paul says as much time and time and time again, that we are slaves, servants of the living God. So there's either that, 100%, or there's that to some percent. And then the rest, we're giving away cheaply to some other spirit. And you can put whatever label you want on it, any psychological label, any worldly label, any political label. You're giving yourself away. You're squandering who you really are, your inheritance, okay? Don't do it for another minute. Now we have to gather in our deep inheritance, our deep legacy. This is your birthright, in fact. Once you became baptized, you know, and went into those waters and came out fresh and clean, that's who you really are. That's who you really are. You get that? Anything else is the enemy trying to pull you away from that and influence you and possess you more and more. Don't allow yourself to become his. Don't allow yourself to be one of his minions, you know? Even to 5% or 1%. But allow yourself to be in love with Christ. It will, in fact, everything else that you do, like in a good way, affect everything else. If I really wanted to be possessed, even if I think in those terms, even if I dwell on those terms, even as I'm repenting, reading the Psalms and doing the rest, you know, you'll change. I can change if I just turn my attention away from the things that are possessing me and give them to Christ and say, you heal these things. You put them away from me. This is why we love the saints. They are us. They were us. Right? Every one of them, you know, as a human being, and like it said in the epistle today, a sinner, for we are all sinners. Every one of them was a sinner. Well, how do you go from being a sinner to a saint? How do I get into the kingdom of heaven? I have to become a sinner. Well, how do I do that? The first is, be possessed of Christ. Nothing else. No one else. Have that longing and yearning zeal, that steadfast focus. That would be a good beginning. Because that will imply that humility, that you're humble enough to actually say, I want this or this or this. All I want is Christ. That implies a deep spiritual beginning already. To say, I'm not in charge. I don't want to be in charge. I don't want to make all these decisions about all of my life, this and that. I want Christ to do that for me. I want him to possess me. Okay? Then you'll never have to deal with what this fellow in the gospel dealt with. To have all these demons driven out of us all the time. Every time we do confession, we're driving out demons. Every time. Every time we have the Holy Mysteries. It's very mystical, you know. We're driving out demons. That's a little more nuanced because it's not magic. And if you're not living that life of repentance and confession, it could be to your death even. But all the mysteries, they have this incredible potential of driving away demons. That's why our church is sacramental. We experience this deliverance all the time. That's why you love coming to church. That's what you feel when you come to church. Even singing one hymn, it's like, I'm delivered. I sang, you know, Lord have mercy. It's like, kingdom of God. When I marry one icon, I'm delivered. Of all the junk that I've been dealing with today, this is the power of getting out of your head, you know, not just worshiping in your head, but bringing it all together and making your whole life that. Okay? So, it's scary to think about, and it's serious to think about where we live much of the time, or some of the time. But it's only scary if we stay there, if we refuse to come back. Keep coming back. He said, the Lord is tired. No, he's never tired of delivering you. He's never tired of healing your frustrations, your depressions, your angers, your passions, your demons that have, you know, infected, he just flicks them away, throws them out, puts them in the swine where they belong. Right? That happens in the church to this minute. Participate, embrace it, and say, Lord, I do believe that. And not only do I believe it, every day is going to be like better and better, and every year, more and more attraction of the other possession, the grace of God. So there's your assignment, my assignment. May we all be blessed in the pursuit of that holy work.